We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
We're going to look into God's Word. Okay, wisdom calls. Wisdom calls. Have you ever been in life where you wish you knew what to say? Or how about a situation where you really wanted to know the right thing to do? Or what about, have you ever realized that you just said something to somebody that's true, but maybe it wasn't the right time to say it? And you're like, they didn't take that so well. Maybe I should have waited a little bit before I said that. I mean, it's true, but maybe it's not the right time. Have you ever had somebody take something you said to them and then they use it in the wrong situation? Or they apply it the wrong way? You're like, no, I didn't tell you to do that. Well, yeah, you did. You told me that when I go outside, I'm supposed to. No. Right? You ever have that happen to you? Oh, man. Man, put your hand up if it has. Like every hand up's going up and around it. Right? So what we need as believers is wisdom. We need to know how to take what God has said to us and how to use it in our lives. How to take what we know and how to apply it. How to make a way through this path of life and be successful. Here's a quick definition of wisdom. What is wisdom? First of all, let me say, you can't really give a short definition of wisdom, right? But since we can't be here all day, I'm going to give you a quickie, you know? And just kind of a basic overview. So wisdom, the basic idea is that wisdom is the skill of living. It's a practical knowledge that helps you know how to act and how to speak in different situations. Boy, we want some of that, huh? Man, how do I say the right thing at the right time, the right way? Oh, help me, Jesus, yeah? Yeah, and it also gives us the ability to avoid problems. Thank you, Lord. Avoid problems and also the skill to handle them when we have one. Right. So it's not only a thing of how do I keep from getting into this problem? How do I get out of it now that I'm in it? Right. How do I handle this the right way? And it's also the ability to interpret other people's speech and writing in order to respond to what they're saying. Have you ever, you know, they say, well, you have to read between the lines, right? We have to have the wisdom of God to read between the lines, to understand really what's going on. And, you know, we have the gifts of the Spirit. We have the discerning of spirits, right? And word of knowledge and word of wisdom and stuff like that. That's wonderful. And thank God we have the Holy Spirit now. And he's in us and he leads us and guides us and shows us these things. But there are some things that we can learn from the book of Proverbs about wisdom. Now, we're not going to go through the whole book of Proverbs because that's another big chunk to go through. But we're going to start out here in Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to talk a little bit about how wisdom's described. We're going to talk a little bit about Solomon. We're going to talk a little bit about Jesus because it all points to Jesus. So Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, it's our biblical guide to obtaining wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to start out in verse 2 and talk to you about what this is all about. So Proverbs 1, 2. Their purpose, that is the Proverbs, is to teach people wisdom and discipline to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. Who wants a successful life here? Who wants it to? Yeah, who here likes discipline? Oh, not as many hands. All right, well, we got a few. Yes. You know, so their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair, right? So God's wisdom isn't to try to rip people off. It isn't to try to find a deal so you can like, you know, oh man, I ripped that guy off. You know, he thought he made a good deal, but no, God is fair, right? And when we think about things that we want to do, you ever go looking for something and trying to get the right price? You're like, look, I'm not trying to rip you off. I just want a fair price, right? I want an honest and fair price. I don't want you to jack this price up 30%, think I'm going to negotiate you down 30%, and you actually end up where you want to be. I want a fair price, right? And so it's things that are right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give you insight, will give insight to the simple. How many times of us do you feel simple at times? God, help me, Lord. I don't even know the beginning from the... It'll give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. So, you can't get too smart for the Proverbs, right? Let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. Let those who, with understanding, you know, you may know a few things, but don't get too big for your britches. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these Proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord. This is one of the keys. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Wow. There's a lot there, right? And we're not really going to, there's not even enough time, close enough time to be able to even chew on all of this. But I want to point out one thing. If we're looking at where do we start? Where do we start this whole thing, this whole journey of, God, how do I get more wisdom? How do I know more? Verse 7, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of true knowledge. Or it's the foundation of true knowledge. Another translation says it's the beginning of true knowledge. There's Proverbs 9:10 that says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, here is where the wisdom from God really separates from the wisdom of the world, because the wisdom that's from God is based in the fear of the Lord. It's based in the fear. It's not based in how much we can know and how much we can understand and how much we can figure out. It's based in the fear of the Lord. So what is this thing? Of fear. What is fear, right? Because the starting point for wisdom is the fear of the Lord, it's the very foundation. It's the very foundation for us to have God's wisdom. It's the very foundation for us to really do life God's way. What's the fear of the Lord? It's a profound respect, an awe of God. It's submission to God, worship, right? I mean, we fear God, we're going to worship him, right? We fear God, it is just like, it's like this tremendous, Lord, man, you are the boss, right? I mean, God, there is nothing I want to do that doesn't, that would displease you. There's nothing I want to do. Everything I want to do, I want you to be nodding up in heaven. Good job. Good job. Way to go, right? Wait, I'm going to thumbs up from God my whole life. Huh? How many more? I'm going to 2 thumbs up from God. You know, if he has thumbs. But if he does, I'm going to both up. But one of the things about the fear of the Lord is what should it produce in us? What should we look like as people who fear God? How should we be acting? How should we be behaving? For example, because we fear God, we should experience, here's something, we should experience some type of warning or some type of emotion when we're anticipating a danger. Right? When we anticipate something wrong, we think something wrong is going to happen. We need to, if we're fearing God, there should be some type of response inside of us, right? It's like the Holy Spirit nudging us, the Holy Spirit giving us a little check, don't go there, don't go there, don't do this, don't do that, you know? When we see something that's not right, when we see something that's evil, and when we see something that's, oh man, if I do that, I'm going to sin, I need to get away from there. And our response to it should be either to flee or to fight the temptation. And the book of Proverbs talks about flee, right? There's nothing wrong with fleeing. Seriously. It's better to flee than to sin, right? There's nothing wrong with fleeing. In fact, if you read through the book of Proverbs, when it gives instructions, and we'll cover one of those parts of Proverbs a little bit later, but it says flee. Get out. Turn around and run. That's the wise thing to do. You're not going to say, oh man, you should have seen me. I was just right in there. Took that on. Yeah, right. Yeah, tell me all about it. Right, yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. Proverbs 1, again, verses 10 and 15 say this, my child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. Don't try to reason with them. Don't try to convince them. If they try to entice you, if they try to draw you in and you see, look, I'm not winning this conversation here, right? I'm not winning this argument here. I'm not winning this discussion. Just split. Yeah? You know, just go. Better to go. It says if they try to entice, if they're after you to get you to do what they're doing, it says turn your back on them. Verse 15 says, my child, don't go along with them. Stay away from their paths. We're talking about living right for God, right? We're talking about living a life that is really going to represent. What's a Christian supposed to look like? Well, there's some hints right here, right? What's our life? What are we supposed to be doing? How should we be living? How should it be demonstrated in our life? Don't stay far away from the path. Now, I didn't have time to go through all that part of Proverbs there, but I'm giving you some homework. That's right. You come to church when I preach, you get homework. And but it talks about, it goes into more detail about, you know, come with us and let us lie in wait for the innocent and really take them down, is what they're saying, you know. In other words, let us find that person that hasn't done anything wrong, but just for grins, let's do something bad to them. And he says, don't do that. Don't go there. Turn away. If they try to entice you, go the other way. Run away. Get away from them. Don't be naive. Don't be foolish. Don't think more of yourself than you should. Keep away from evil. Now, when I was in high school, that was just shortly ago, and I was a freshman, ninth grader, and in my high school, 9 through 12, freshman. And you know the whole thing about freshmen getting initiated, right? I don't know if do they still do that? Do they initiate freshmen? No? Oh, it's like an aunt nowadays? Well, they used to initiate them when I was in school, you know, when men were men. And so I'm there, you know, you're like the scrawny little freshman. I'm a freshman. And you got the seniors, hi, my name's John. You know, and he's like big, and he's puffing, and he's got whiskers. Oh, dude's got whiskers, man. So we're walking down the hallway, me and my friend Steve, and we're walking to a class or something like that. We're going from one end of the school where the gym and the cafeteria were, off to the other end to get to our locker and get our books and get the class. We're walking down the hallway, and it's just me and Steve, two freshmen, you know, thin as bean poles, and here comes this group. There's just this group of like four senior guys just like walking, you know? And you know, we've been there a whole 2 months, and we know what's going on, man. We're freshmen, right? So we're walking down, and I said to Steve, I said, come on, we should go on the other side of the hallway. And he goes, nah! And I'm like, no, no. He goes, no, I'm going to walk right through them. I'm like, later, I was wise! Yo, he was a fool, you know? And he goes in, and he walks right in the middle of these four seniors, right? He did not come out the other end. That's all I can say. They picked him. I don't know if they took him to, like, the boys' room and, you know, put his hair under the water fountain or something. You know, something. It wasn't too bad. You know, he survived, but it was like, I saw him, I'm like, Steve, you know, Steve, what is your problem, man? You know, I mean, come on. Don't be stupid. So that was an example, me being wise and Steve being foolish. So, all right. So we talked a little bit about what Proverbs is about. I also want to cover another topic, the uniqueness of Proverbs. Now, what makes Proverbs so unique? You know, back in the time of Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, right? So just in case, Solomon, well, he didn't write the whole thing. He wrote the majority of it. And at the time of Solomon, there were a lot of wise men, a lot of wise guys around. In Egypt and in some of the other wise men from the Far East and everything like that, who had all their sayings. There were sayings going around Egypt, the wise sayings of the Egyptians, the wise sayings of the people over here, and all these people coming up with their wisdom. And but if we turn, gee whiz, that's out of date. If you just go to, that's the easiest way, just get there, right? 1 Kings chapter 4. It says this, 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. Now this is Solomon. Listen to this. And God gave Solomon wisdom. Now, I want to take note of the things that he's got here. God gave Solomon wisdom, exceedingly great understanding, and largeness of heart like the sand of the sea. Now, most of us think about, oh, God gave Solomon wisdom. He did. But that's not where he stopped. He gave him great understanding. And I think the one thing that really, he gave him largeness of heart. Now, I never really thought of Solomon as a man with largeness of heart till I read this. And I went, I mean, I've read it before. This wasn't my first time, just a little FYI. But the largeness of heart, like the sand of the sea, you know, as believers, we need to have a largeness of heart, right? The wisdom of God isn't just for us to know things. We need God's wisdom, and we need to have a large heart for people, right? We need to have a large heart. We need, God, we need largeness of heart. I mean, that's actually a pretty good prayer. God, we need largeness of heart. And this is one of the things that set Solomon apart. Wisdom, exceedingly great understanding, largeness of heart. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. So in other words, there were some people out there that were considered wise men. Right? There were some other people in addition to Solomon that were considered in their countries, in their nations, wherever, to be wise. But Solomon excelled in all of them, for he was wiser, and they list them. Here they are. He was wiser than all men. Than Ethan, the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the son of Mahal. Cool. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke, are you ready for this? Put your seatbelts on. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. My goodness. But the thing of the book of Proverbs is that it's so unique because Solomon was the wisest man in the entire world at that time. Can you imagine that? Like the wise, like, I mean, you talk about wise. Go see Solomon. Man, he was the wisest. I think about the potential we have. Right? I mean, we've got the Holy Spirit in us. Right? Jesus said, and we'll cover the scripture in a bit, getting ahead of myself, but that's okay, that Jesus said, hey, one greater than Solomon is among you. Now, isn't that incredible? Jesus says, hey, look, guys, someone greater than Solomon is among you. And this Jesus is our Lord. He's our Savior. We've got the Spirit of God inside of us. So if Solomon is able to have wisdom that exceeds understanding and insight and things like that, we should say, God, we got this potential in us. Lord, I need to tap it. Right? I need to tap it. I need to go in there and pow, pump a hole, chuck, I don't know, tap, put a hole in the bottle and let it flow, God. I need some of that understanding. I need some of that wisdom. I need to tap into this thing that is as great as the wisdom that Solomon had. Now, I want to cover four things that define wisdom. Four things. And this is a part in the book of Proverbs that kind of, I guess it's a good way to surmise everything that the book of Proverbs talks about. And this is in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 to 28. It says this. And I can remember the first time reading this. I'm like, are you serious? So here we go. Here we go. There are four things on earth that are small but unusually wise. Ants, rock badgers, locusts, and lizards. I'm like, are you serious? Like, whoa, let's find out what's going on. I can remember the first time reading this as a young kid. I'm like, ants? Come on. So ants, they aren't strong. But they store up food all summer. What's the wise part here? What's the wisdom here that the ants show us? That he's saying that the ants show us. You know, in your life there's times of abundance. And there's times where there's not so much abundance. Right? The wise person stores up in times of abundance so that when the winter comes, there's no lack. Right? How many people get in trouble because they hit a season of abundance? And you can enjoy the abundance. That's not a problem with that. But how many people get in trouble because they hit a season of abundance and they just go wild? I got this cash flow, man. I got this. I mean, how many musicians, how many of these multi-million dollar people are broke? Right? Like this movie star, you know, they made $10 million over 3 years and now they're broke. How do you go broke? I mean, seriously, right? But it's a lack of wisdom. It's like I've got this season of abundance, and I'm just going to use it, man. It's going to just go on forever, you know, because it's been going on for the last 2.5 years. It's just never going to stop, you know. I just got so much money, I don't know what to do with it, and I'm just going to spend it, and then all of a sudden, poosh, off goes the floodgates, and they're like, I don't have as many jobs now. I'm not acting as much as I used to, and now I can't even support myself. I had to file bankruptcy. I'm like, really? Wow, and like some of these sports stars and stuff like that, you know, they get a lot of money. They don't know how to handle it. You know, look at the ant. He stores up during the summer so that when the winter comes, he's got enough. Rock badgers. Now, rock badgers, it took me a while to figure out what on earth is a rock badger, you know? So, of course, I Googled it, and I got these little, they look like little, I don't know, rodents, you know? But they're this animal that lives in the rocks. And they're very, very weak. They aren't powerful. They're very feeble, actually. But they make their homes among the rocks. Now, what's this telling me? I mean, I'm not going to live in the rocks, Lord. You know, they can't protect themselves. They don't have enough strength to protect themselves. They can't fight off their predators. So what do? They find a safe place to live. Oh, come on. Right, that's right, come on. I mean, that's wisdom, right? Oh, I don't know. I don't have to worry about where I'm living because you know, God will always protect me. Come on. It's like you need some wisdom. Look at the rock badger. They aren't powerful. Well, I'm not able to really protect myself, but it'll be okay. It'll be okay. God, I'll just walk into the situation blindly because God will protect me. No, you need to go hide out in the rocks. Right? Because then what these rock badgers would do is when the predators would come, zip, they'd zip into little crevices. You know, they can kind of squeeze themselves in there, and they can get them. Like, oh, man, no food today. Oh, well, I'll go someplace else. I'll go get a rabbit over there that's eating that carrot, you know, or something like that. But this is the wisdom. I think about us and hiding under the shadow of the Almighty. I think about how God is our fortress. Right? And are we really hiding in the right spot? Is God really our shelter? Is he really our protector? Is he really our fortress, our strength? You know, when the battles come, thank God for the fortress, right? Thank God for the shadow of the Almighty where you're out of the heat of the day and there's some coolness and there's some refreshing. So just like the rock badger finds a place in the rocks, we need to make sure we've got our place under the shadow of the Almighty. Are we safe? Are you safe? Are you safe from a spiritual assault? What about an attack of the devil? What are you going to do there? Are you ready? Are you under the shadow of the Almighty? Are you hiding? Is he your fortress? Have you built your house in the right spot? Locusts. Oh, we love those locusts. They have no king, but they march in formation. You know, one of the things about locusts is that when they come in formation, they just wipe you out because there's order to what they're doing, right? They work as one. They work as one. They're not out doing their own thing. They're not out making their own suggestions. They're not out, I'm going to go eat this corn over here. You know, you guys, I don't care about the soybeans. I'm going for the corn, right? They're not doing that. They're staying together. And that makes me think about how wise is it for us to know that we're part of a body, right? How wise is it to not be out there and be on your own, doing your own thing, doing it your way, wanting to do it your way, or even being part, I put that in quote, part of the body of Christ or of a church, but yet doing your own thing, your way, on your time when you feel like it. Right, there's no wisdom to that because that person doing that is very exposed, very, very unprotected, and the effect is going to be diminished because you're not being a part of us. See, when we all march together, when we all work together for the common vision, then we make progress. If we're all out doing our own thing, we're going to get nothing done. We're all going to get a little bit done, but nothing's going to come together. You ever see those teams, those sports teams where there's not really a lot of very talented players, but man, can they play as a team, you know, and they can beat some of the most talented, you know, you see those teams, I think of Miami Heat, you know, where they got all these great basketball players and they did well, but they got beat sometimes, right? Because it's a team game, right? And it's those who play as teams that can often defeat those who have the one or two superstars. And so God's not looking for superstars. He's looking for people of the body of Christ, the elbows and the wrists and the ankles and the knees and all of those. Everybody doing their part so that we can move together as one. And then we'll really see the kingdom of God expanded. So that's locusts. And lizards. I've been here long enough, I should drop my R, but I'm not. Refuse. Just do it. Lizards, they are easy to catch, but they're found even in king's palaces. What on earth is a lizard doing in the king's palace? Like, I'm serious, right? How many people want lizards in their home? Come on now. I mean, my goodness, my two little daughters, they see a ladybug and they freak out. Daddy, go to the bathroom with me. There's a ladybug in there. I'm like, don't worry, honey. Ladybugs don't eat people. I didn't quite say it that way. You know? Or they'll go to the bathroom, they'll come back out. Dad, what? What? There's an ant on the wall. Where? Right there. Where? There. I'm like, that? Oh, man, I can't even see. It's just a little bit, you know? So, but, you know, you think about these lizards, right? You could squash them. Sometimes the translation is used as spiders, right? So you can take them and you go, you know, a spider, you just like wrap it up, throw it down the toilet, right? Flush, good, gone, right? But yet, they're wise enough that they can get into the best buildings. I mean, a king's palace, that's pretty sweet, right? King's palace is pretty sweet. So they're wise enough that they know how to get to where they need to get to. Now, it's not by deception, right? It's not by you scratch my back, I scratch your back. But there is wisdom in being able to get into, say, an audience with some high government officials. Maybe an audience with the governor. Maybe an audience with a key senator or something. Or maybe an audience with a CEO of a big company or something like that, right? We think about how the lizards can, or the spiders, although they can be caught and they can be squished, they can be easily captured, yet, even though they are weak like that, they are wise enough to know how to get into these big places. And I believe God is going to give us wisdom on how to affect big places. I mean, big places. God's going to give us an ability to be able to walk into some of these places and have a good effect, right? Be able to have some persuasion there. And it's just going to be by the hand of God, by the grace of God, and he's going to give us the wisdom on how to do it the right way and not look like we're just, you know, rookies at this thing, right? Okay. wisdom has a few colleagues. And this is back in Proverbs 1, chapter 1. Can you flip up Proverbs 1, 2 through 7 again up here? So there's a few colleagues, I call it, that wisdom has. One of them is discipline and correction. That's our favorite, right? Discipline and correction. Love it. Love it. I'm going to walk through some of these. So discipline and correction, the ability to listen when you're told you're wrong. The ability to listen when you're told you're wrong and changing. Oh, it's so quiet in here. How many people really enjoy being told you're wrong? Not really. But you get used to it. That's right. Well, it happens so much. I'm just like, well, what are you going to tell me today? Yeah, yeah. But and part of wisdom, so a wise person will listen and receive correction. It would be foolish not to. You know, we've got some really good leaders here that will be able to, They want to plant things in your life, right? They want to see you prosper. I mean, their goal isn't to prove that they're right and you're wrong. That's not the goal here, right? The goal is to say, hey, look, God's got a plan for you, and I want to see you reach everything God has for you. But look, we got to take care of something here. Okay, will you let me talk to you about this? And will you listen to what I'm saying? Right? That's a wise person. That's discipline and correction. How about successful? Oh, we like that one. That's an easy peasy one. Successful, it means to have insight, recognition of the true nature of a situation. So the Proverbs will give us this, let's see, to live disciplined and successful lives, lives with insight. This is really one of the key things of what we can learn from Proverbs and what wisdom gives us, is that we have the ability to have insight into situations. Insight, for example, to recognize the true nature of a situation, allowing the wise person to act or speak in an appropriate way. Now, that is really important. It's not only what you say, but it's how you say it. Right? Right? So it's like, those, you know, I think there's something better that you can that might work better with that outfit than here, why don't you try this? Yeah, there's a right way to say it. Don't ask me. There's a right way to say it, really. And you just don't want to say, that's really ugly. You know, can you change it? I mean, sometimes we get that from our kids. Dad, that looks ugly. Sorry, that's all I got, Carol. But hey, that's be able to be able to have insight and to be able to correctly read a situation. Man, we need that. We need the Holy Spirit to open up our eyes and give us understanding so that we can really see what's going on in a situation so that we don't respond to the wrong thing. Right, so you don't respond to their ugliness on the outside because something's really going on the inside. And if we get so caught up in the outside, we'll never make it to the inside. So there's that. There's understanding and knowledge. They emphasize to be able to understand knowledge. Let me say this about understanding and knowledge. True knowledge is always for a purpose and in relationship with other people or God or his creation. So knowledge isn't just to say you know something. There's a purpose to why we need to know things. There's a purpose because it's always in relationship to other people or to God. Other people or to God. There's things like prudence, discretion, and the last one I'm going to touch on here is right, just, and fair. Right, just, and fair. We talked about that earlier. That the wise person, Proverbs, the wise person will do things right. They'll do things fairly. They do things justly. That has got to be a characteristic of us. Last section I want to talk on is called Wisdom Calls. Imagine that. That's the title of the sermon. Wisdom Calls. Proverbs 9. Let me read through that briefly. Wisdom 9. Well, Proverbs 9. She has, that's wisdom, has prepared a great banquet mixed with the wines. Sand set the table, what an awesome typo. And set the table. That was the typo that was in my notes, too, so it wasn't their fault. It was actually my fault, and I actually scribbled it out. So anyways, she has sent her servants to invite everyone to come. She calls out from the heights overlooking the city. This is wisdom calling out now. Wisdom calling out saying, come in with me. Wisdom's calling us. She's urging us, saying, come in with me. To those who lack good judgment, she says, come eat my food and drink the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways behind you and begin to live. Learn to use good judgment. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. So wisdom is calling out to us. Wisdom is saying, hey, come on. I am here for you. Jesus said this in Matthew, or this is what Jesus said in Matthew 12. It says this: the people of Nineveh, I'm keeping these guys on their toes back there. The people of Nineveh will stand up against this generation on Judgment Day and condemn it, for they repented of their sins at the preaching of Jonah. Now, someone greater than Jonah is here, but you refuse to repent. He's talking to the scribes and Pharisees who won't listen to him. The Queen of Sheba will also stand up against this generation on Judgment Day and condemn it, for she came from a distant land to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now someone greater than Solomon is here. Jesus is saying someone, we've gone through Proverbs, and Jesus is saying someone greater than Solomon standing right before you. Yet, you refuse to listen. Yet, you refuse to listen. I'll tell you, Jesus is where this all points to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says this, "But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." What I want to finish up to tell you today is that wisdom is calling. All these things we talked about, we just only touched really the surface. But wisdom is calling, and Jesus is the wisdom of God for us today. Jesus is calling. He is saying, "Hey, you simple ones, come to me. Hey, you who don't understand, come to me. I am the wisdom of God. You want to know and understand things, come to me. Come to me." You may wonder, you know, how do I handle life? How do I deal with work? How do I deal with family? How do I deal with church? How do I deal with this neighbor? How do I deal with, the other neighbor on the other side? You know, how do I deal with these people? Jesus is saying, "Hey, look, I'm the wisdom of God. I can tell you how to deal with them. I can tell you how to do this. But you're not going to be able to do it unless Jesus is your Lord. Unless he's in your heart." So I'm going to take a moment right now and say, hey, look, wisdom's calling and Jesus is calling you also. So why don't we bow our heads? Because I want to find out, hey, those of you here today, you may say, "Hey, I don't know how to handle this life. Hey, I don't know how to deal with these things." And the first step, the very first step is to have God's wisdom, and that God's wisdom is Jesus. So the very first step is Jesus. So
we hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.